Game on 2FM with Green Farm. B vitamins equal big benefits. The new Green Farm added benefits range is packed with essential B vitamins. Available in store now.
Game on, weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Thanks to the two Johnnies, it's Friday the 13th of May and this is Game On. Coming up today, the Hurling Championship is heating up as the Dubs take on Kilkenny. Cork travel to Waterford and Limerick travel to Ennis, knowing they need to improve on last week.
I'm going to be very, very focused this week on just a much better performance next weekend. I've never gone to Ennis with a free heart. There's always a very warm welcome awaiting us in Ennis, and I've no doubt it'll be no different next weekend, you know. And there are always great battles and there's a great rivalry there between the two counties.
And in soccer, it is a very big weekend for Liverpool and Chelsea. The FA Cup final takes place with Klopp looking forward to it.
It is the biggest domestic cup competition in the world for sure. I'm pretty sure a lot of people around the world will watch this game. And and a lot of them are Liverpool supporters, so that's cool. Hopefully we can use that power.
If you want to get in touch, please text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome along. Alan Colley is with me in studio as well. We have a huge weekend of sport, Alan. I was on with the two Johnnies a little bit earlier and I was saying to them, I actually need to sit down and make a schedule and try and figure out what I'm going to watch at what time and how I can fit in all the other sporting events that I've on with the kids and all the rest as well, because it's just crazy.
Evening, Marie. When you're finished with that schedule, you send it across to me. Because I'll be doing something similar. It is, and it's kind of, I know you've obviously discussed the GAA a lot on the show, and it seems to be kind of, from the feeling I get about obviously the scheduling with the fixtures and stuff, it just seems to be crammed in on top of an awful lot of things at the moment, Marie. On top of, as I say, coming the culmination of the Premier League season, which is happening now, and we're getting down to those last couple of games in the league. Obviously the FA Cup final as well is going to be huge tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that, actually. But I just said to you, something just doesn't feel right about the FA Cup final at 4:45 on a Saturday. They've kind of ruined it over the years, and I know we've had many conversations about the magic of the cup and whether it's done and dusted and gone. It kind of is gone, sadly, but I still all have my childhood memories of growing up with the FA Cup final being such an unbelievable day. So I'll be sitting down tomorrow watching that, trying to recreate those memories, Marie. Whether that'll happen or not, I'm not so sure, but I'm really looking forward to the game. Liverpool and Chelsea as well, it should be a cracker.
Yeah, and Leinster and Toulouse is another one that people will be really interested in. And team news from a little bit earlier, Leo Cullen named an unchanged side to take on Toulouse. And actually, interestingly, Toulouse, I was looking at pictures of them a little bit earlier on too, and they were training out in Terenure, and they seemed to be meeting some of the kids and all the rest out there, so it looked like they were settling in very, very well. But that should be a cracking game as well. We're going to get into the weekend's football across the water very, very shortly, Alan. But first of all, I'm heading to Talla Stadium tonight for that top of the table clash between Derry City and Shamrock Rovers. A lot of people thinking that Shamrock Rovers will probably be able to get one over on Derry. Do you think it's going to be as straightforward as that?
Well, I don't think it'll be straightforward, Marie, but it should be a cracking game. Lovely evening as well. The two top teams, they've already opened up a gap, obviously, from the third place St. Pat's, and it looks like, with all intents and purposes, that it's going to be a two-horse race. I hope it is, and I just hope that Shamrock Rovers don't pull away. But you look at the form at the moment, Marie, I think the last nine games, they've won six and drawn three. They dismantled Sligo Rovers on Monday night as well. So they're very, very strong. As we all know, they're in a very, very rich vein of form at the moment. So it's going to be a tough ask for Derry City to come down here and get a result. But they have beaten them earlier in the season, the Brandywell. They've been on a very good run themselves. It'll be a good test for them. But I just hope, for the league's sake, that they can get some sort of a result to try and maintain the pace with Shamrock Rovers, because the last thing we want is them pulling away, even though I do feel Shamrock Rovers are the best team by a stretch, to be fair.
Yeah, and I think that was probably quite evident against Sligo there recently, just the changes that were made by Stephen Bradley. He was able to change the game.
And that's the thing, Marie, as well, you know, it's like player for player, they're the best team in the country, but then you add in the squad as well. As you see, things weren't going well for him the other night, nil all at half time, and then he brings on four substitutes. One of them, Graham Burke, scores a hat-trick, and that's the quality that they're bringing on. Like, Graham Burke is an Irish international, so everybody is aware of this, everybody knows the strength that they have. Derry City will be under no illusions whatsoever coming down tonight. Rory Higgins, he'll look forward to the game. I'm sure he'll have a game plan ready for them. Unfortunately for him at the moment, they're missing a couple of key players as well, and that's the problem. Shamrock Rovers are the only ones that can kind of cope with maybe missing two or three key players, because they still have two or three key players to come in. Whereas you, if you're any of the chasing pack and you're down one or two of your best players, it's very, very tough then to go to the league leaders and defending champions and try and beat them.
It took a while though for Stephen Bradley to build his squad into the squad that it is, and when you look at Rory Higgins, you just have to think it's going to take him time as well.
Absolutely, Marie, and that's why they're so good, Shamrock Rovers, because it did take him time. We all spoke about the early days with Stephen Bradley when he was struggling and looking like he might even lose his job, but it does take time. The club were very good to him and giving him that time as well. I think, to be fair to Philip Doherty and Rory Higgins and the setup in Derry, is that they are looking at the bigger picture. They're offering long term contracts to players. You look, even yesterday Cameron Dumigan signed a contract extension already, and he only came in the off season. So I've spoken to Rory about this, and he said that unless the chairman was behind him in giving out long-term contracts, he wasn't going to take the job, because he felt as though that's what it entailed, Marie, is that if you're going to build anything sustainable, and you have to be given the time, but you also have to be given long-term contracts to players so that you have that continuity in the squad. The problem with a lot of the clubs here is that when you're turning over 9 and 10 players every year and having to start from scratch, like maybe we've seen with Bohemians, I think Sligo Rovers were in a similar case, most of the clubs, it's the norm nearly, but the brilliant thing and the brilliant position the Shamrock Rovers find themselves in, they're only adding one or two because they already have the bulk of the squad built up, and that was the same with Dundalk when they were having their success. So it does take time. I think Derry City will be absolutely delighted in terms of the season so far, where it's at, the progress the team is making, and even if they weren't to win it this year, and I don't think they will, they are, as I say, they're in a brilliant position to build on, because they have players now that are nailed down for the long term, and if they're to add one or two, they will definitely be challenging Shamrock Rovers over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Where does that put the other clubs then that we were expecting to be maybe further up the table, like St. Patrick's Athletic?
Yeah, well, St. Patrick's Athletic, to be fair, they had the changeover with the manager, and like we're speaking about time there and having that time to build. Stephen O'Donnell looked like he was on his way to doing something like that, but then obviously some other offer comes in, he leaves, and they're kind of starting from scratch again. And Tim is a new manager. He lost some two or three key players, obviously Lee Desmond and the like last year. He's brought in two or three key players, but that's going to take time as well. I'd say Tim has been probably a little bit disappointed as well where they're at the moment, but if you look at the chasing pack, Marie, I think at the start of the season, I would have expected St. Pat's just to be where they're at the moment. And if they finish in Europe and can build on that next year, I think that'll be a good season for them. But the other two are pulling away, and the reason they're pulling away is because of the best squads.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Right, let's turn our attention now to the FA Cup final. And I am delighted to say that Fergal Brennan is with us on the line all the way from Merseyside. Fergal, it's getting quite stressful now following Liverpool, I must say, because every game it feels like there's a huge amount of pressure piling on. Will that be the case on Saturday against Chelsea, do you think?
It will be, and there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of games. I think the kind of rolling average of every 3 or 4 days Liverpool seems to be playing at the moment, and that's going to be the case between now and Paris when they take on Real Madrid. There is pressure. Obviously, it's a cup final. They've got the Champions League cup final to come. But the situation in the Premier League does seem to be, no Liverpool fan is going to admit it, but it does seem to be pushing for Manchester City now as it stands. They've got the advantage, they've got that edge, and the two games that they've had in the last week or so, they've put in five in back-to-back games. They look home and hosed now to defend the Premier League title. So Liverpool's focus inevitably switches to this weekend, the FA Cup final with Chelsea, and then Madrid at the end of the month. And they go into this as favourites, and deservedly so. Chelsea have had a strange, mixed campaign, particularly in the second half of the year, because we've had a position where the club is trying to be sold. There's lots of on-field issues going on that Thomas Tuchel has had to battle against, and their form has suffered as a result. They're probably going to get top four through the Premier League, but their entire campaign is riding on Saturday. If they lose on Saturday to Liverpool, they'll end the season with no trophy, which will be a big thing for Tuchel to then have to manage in the summer. So Liverpool are under a lot of pressure because they know now that their season's probably going to be defined by two games. But Tuchel's under pressure because he's only got one chance.
Alan, Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm looking. You were taking me back to about 9 months ago, are you?
Yeah.
You'll never let me live
never,
that one down. Yeah, well, to be fair to them, there was factors off the pitch out of Tuchel's control.
But you didn't think we were going to be an issue for
no,
a while.
No, but in fairness, it was long before that, Marie. It was the Christmas period, really, that they let slide, obviously, the the challenge that they were putting up. And that was once the trouble came off the pitch as well. Obviously, they had no chance and all those distractions. To be fair to them, I think it has settled down a little bit. And the last 2 or 3 weeks has been a lot better. So this will be, if you were to go back 3 or 4 weeks ago when all that distraction was going on and the off the field issues, you would have fancied Liverpool really, really strongly in this game. But I think looking at Chelsea the last 2 or 3 weeks, they're going into it in much better form and much more confidence. So it'll be a tricky game. I agree with Fergal in the fact that the pressure that both teams are under. But the amazing thing about Liverpool as well, we spoke obviously last Friday and I was thinking that there's going to be a twist in the league. What I should clear up is the fact that I felt Liverpool would beat Spurs and put all the pressure on Man City. They blew it, and that's why I felt Man City were in a much better position on Sunday, hence them winning 4-5-0, and then they obviously destroy Wolves as well. So the league is gone. But if you think of Liverpool at the start of the year, Marie, if someone had to say every game that's available for us to play, we'll be playing it, like, that is just bonkers when you think about it. And the fact that they've lived up to that and they're coming through it now and they're obviously going to play all those games with an opportunity to, with silverware, to win tomorrow and win the Champions League, it's been absolutely phenomenal what Liverpool have done this year. And I know I said jokingly at the weekend I hope Chelsea beat them after Klopp's whinging last week. I kind of want Liverpool to go on and win it, because to have a season like that and not come away with any silverware would be just... it would be totally unfair, to be fair. And I know football is not very fair at the best of times, but just in terms of what they've done and what they've achieved all year, I think they will go on and win the cup tomorrow.
Okay, well, aside from the cup, there's a huge amount of other games on as well over the weekend. But let's have a quick look back at last night and Spurs and Arsenal. And look, you can't but be impressed really with the performance Spurs put in last night and just the expectation that was on the game as well, Fergal.
Yeah, they were in the position of pressure and they reacted far better than Arsenal did. Obviously, a bit of controversy at the start of the game. Penalty given away, which Harry Kane tucked in the back of the net. And then Rob Holding sent off for what was a pretty blatant red card against Son Heung-min. They've now put themselves in a position where Arsenal are still in front. They're still a point ahead with 2 games to go. But you'd look at this run-in and say Burnley could be difficult because they're scrapping to stay in the Premier League, and then Tottenham have got Norwich on the final day, which you'd expect them to cruise. The pressure is now flipped. It's now on Arsenal because Spurs play on Sunday lunchtime against Burnley. Even though, as I say, Burnley are fighting for their lives at home, you'd expect Spurs to get through that. Arsenal then have to wait until Monday night to go to Newcastle, and they have to win. There's no real kind of wiggle room for them now. They have to beat Newcastle, and then they have to beat Everton on the final day. And if the picture is still as it is down the bottom, they could find themselves potentially relegating Everton. I don't think it will come to that. I'm still sticking with my prediction from a few weeks ago of Leeds being the ones to go down. But it could be very, very difficult for Arsenal in the next week or so, because if Spurs get through Burnley on Sunday, you'd expect it's free and easy. They'll turn Norwich over. And if Arsenal don't step up, it'll be Spurs in the Champions League.
They always let you down. They always let you down, Marie. I watched the match last night. I thought Spurs were brilliant, but some of the decision-making of the players. And I'll get to Arteta in a moment as well, because I mentioned Klopp swinging the other day. Arteta's interview after the match was absolutely embarrassing, Marie. And people suggesting, oh, well, he has to protect his players. Take responsibility for how bad it was on the night. And I know Rob Holding, obviously, he played him, so he picked him. Once he made the crazy decisions to get himself sent off, surely you bring on Ben White then. Ben White is sitting, and once they go 2-0 down, I can understand he doesn't bring him on, but the game is over then, it's too late. At 1-0 you still have a chance. So I thought Arteta, actually, never mind the referee, I thought the referee was very good. I thought it was a penalty. The red card was a blatant red card. Spurs played very well, but I actually thought Arteta was the one that had a nightmare last night, and now he's facing into a bigger nightmare, because if they don't finish in the top four, he'll be under serious pressure. And when you flip it over to Spurs and Conte, and I've said it numerous times, how Conte is not with one of the big teams, and I'm throwing Man United into the mix there, Marie. Spurs are so lucky to have Conte. He's absolutely brilliant. You look at the conditioning of the players as well. You look at the demands he puts on them. He signed Bentancur, Kulusevski when they come in, they've been absolutely brilliant. Romero's been a star. So I think Spurs will finish the job, win the last 2 games, and I think it's Arteta who'll be the one facing all the questions at the end of the season.
Fergal, it's not a bad spot to be in, really. You know, we still have a bit of a race at the top of the table. We do have the European spots, and then at the end as well at the bottom of the table, it's still quite fascinating.
It is, and I think we might actually come away from this weekend, or certainly in that little clutch of midweek games that we've got coming up, with one of those races potentially settled. I mean, we all want everything still on the table for the final games of the weekend, final games of the season next weekend. But I get the sense that one or two of them might be ticked off before we get there. I do think the City are home and dry in terms of the title race. Chelsea, probably okay. Arsenal Spurs is going to be the big focus if it's not settled on the final game of their final games of the season. But Everton, Burnley, Leeds, it's still there or thereabouts. You'd expect Everton to probably be okay. And then on the final weekend of the season, it could be Burnley against Leeds. Leeds' form is against them, but this is what they've been waiting for. Two home games back-to-back between now and the end of the season. If they can get something from them, put a bit of pressure on Burnley, then there could be yet another twist between now and the end of the season.
Yep, and that's what we want as football fans. Right, we're going to take a very quick break. For Glenn Allen, thank you so much for joining us. Plenty more to come. Stay with us.
RTE 2FM. Game on. On 2FM with Green Farm. B vitamins equal big benefits. The new Green Farm added benefits range is packed with essential B vitamins. Available in store now.
Game on.
Hurling.
Now it's time to turn our attention to hurling. I'm delighted to say that Shane McGrath is with me on the line now. Shane, before we get into the weekend's action, I believe you were at the minor final the other night.
I was there, yeah. Delighted to get a win in the Gaelic Ground. It was a fantastic game, really. Very, well, it was hard for the 16 and 17 year olds for it to go to penalties. Maybe it's something that they might look at in the future, but look, unbelievable talent on both sides, and very, very enjoyable. My own brother Cormac was involved in the coaches, so it was lovely to get a picture with him and some family members on the pitch afterwards for, you know, a happy day for Tip Hurling this year anyway.
Yeah, I was watching on the TV all right, and there was no shortage of drama. So just when you mentioned the penalties there, do you think that they should be deciding a game like that?
I think maybe, look, people say at senior level, whether if it got to that, you know, fair enough, maybe. I think lads are mature at that stage and might have experienced these pressure situations, you know, coming up along. But I just think maybe for 16 and 17-year-olds that it might be a bit much. I know even from watching them even walking up, you could see there was a nervousness in them. You know, maybe if they had their strike back again, they might have hit him a bit clearer. But look, it's easy talk. There was a fine crowd in there, 5,000 people, and a Munster final, and as I said, you're 16 or 17 years old. I think maybe it's something they could look at that age. But, you know, up, if it's further up the line and it does have to come to it, suppose if you're neutral, it's fantastic viewing, but maybe not for 16 and 17-year-olds, Marino.
Yeah, it did feel like there should be a better way to do it yet, but we just haven't figured it out yet. Let's move on to this weekend. I'm not sure if it'll be as dramatic, but hopefully we'll get a few good games anyway. Let's start with Clare and Limerick in Cusick Park. And just given everything that's gone on in Limerick at the moment off the pitch and the focus that's on that, do you think that Limerick are going to come out and do their talking on the pitch and just put that behind them with a performance, or will they be a little bit rattled?
I think the most interesting thing for me with it, Marie, will be what team John Kiely goes with. Like, will he go very, very strong and want to absolutely 100% guarantee the Munster final? Or, like, will he feel that, okay, you take like the Sean Finn now, you know, who has played every minute so far. Will he use it as a time to rest him? Will he use it as a time to say, you know, maybe Dan Morrissey wasn't his at his best against Tip. Will O'Donoghue probably the quietest I've seen him. Kyle Hayes was quiet. Like, will he use it as a kind of a, look, lads, it wasn't good enough the last day. He set very high standards. I need to see it now. You know, and that for me is the big thing. Like, what team is John Kiely going to go with? Is he going to give the likes of David Reedy and Boyle and these kind of people who are making an impact off the bench, kind of say to them, look, show me what you have. Show me if you want to be on this team. Show me, you know, show me, like, if you want to feature the next day in a Munster final or an All-Ireland series. So I think that's the interesting thing. I think the other side of it is with your own county, Marie. I think it's the first time in maybe Brian Lohan's tenure like that he can sit down and he can actually pick the best 19 or 20 hurlers in Clare at the moment, because guys are coming back from injury, back from being away. And I think, you know, I was looking at your forward last year, Marie, in the Cork game. And, you know, where you were so close to beating Cork, and Cork got to the final, but like you didn't have Peter Duggan, Shane O'Donnell and Tony Kelly on the field together. And I think having that trio in the forward on the pitch together, I think is massive because of, you know, the impact that they have, the amount of ball that Shane O'Donnell wins, the target that Peter Duggan is, and the way that Tony Kelly can work off him as well. So I just think it's massive for Clare. I think Ennis, you know, your first home game this year, I think there's a crest of a wave there now as well. You don't see a lot of motion from Brian Lohan, but even after the Cork game now, he's up to the crowd. I think everyone is behind him. I think there's a good feel factor about the group as well. You know, even at the minors the other night, there was a massive Clare crowd in there, and I think they'll, you know, obviously it'll be packed, Ennis, you know, with the attendance like that it has. So I think Clare coming into it in a great place. I really fancy Clare to get the win down at Ennis at the weekend, actually.
So we know the players that you outlined there can do damage, so they definitely have the forwards to test any back line in the country. But when you look at Limerick, and we'll say, look, we don't know what 15 John Kiely's going to go with, but no matter what 15 he puts out, he's still going to have a rake of good forwards out there. Do we have enough at the back? Do Clare have enough at the back to be able to contain a firing Limerick forward line?
Yeah, it's probably their first massive test, you know. I mean, they didn't seem to be under too much pressure against Tip, you know, albeit they only beat Cork by 2 points, in my view. It was a 2-point hammer, and really they were by far the better team there. So it'll be a massive test for them. I just think it'll be fascinating, as I said, about John Kiely and his team selection. Will he pick Aaron Gillan, with the history that Aaron Gillan and Conor Cleary have the last few games, and Aaron getting sent off the last day in the league against you down there in Ennis? So, you know, that'll be fascinating to see. But I think Clare are structurally very solid. I think Rory Hayes is one of the top cornerbacks in the game. Conor Cleary at 3. Paul Flanagan is very solid there. You know, you've John Conlon at 6. And, you know, David Mack and Dermot Ryan seem to be, you know, they're about to have back line for them. So they have a very settled group of backs, but I think it will be a big test for them. But as I said, I think they have been your six backs now for some time. So I think Brian Lohan believes in them, believes that they have the ability to do it. And I think you know, it'll be a big test for them. I think they'll be fine against whatever group of forwards comes up against them this year. Like,
It just shows, doesn't it, that you just need to give a team and a manager a little bit of time, because Brian obviously knew what he was doing. It was just going to take a little bit to get there. And now we're seeing a team of players who are a reflection of their manager. And when you think of Brian Lohan playing and how tough he was, how steely he was, and the determination and dedication he always showed, like, no better person to be in charge, really.
No, I don't. Like, obviously, Marie, from hearing stories from outside or whatever, that the players really want to play for him. Whereas you have maybe the opposite, maybe say in Cork at the moment, where the players just don't seem to want to play for the management, or they're not playing for each other, or I don't know what it is. But you don't see that in Clare. And people are saying, look, they've played Tip and Cork, and maybe we're number 4, number 5 in Munster at the moment. But I mean, Clare went out, did what they had to do, bet Tip by, was it 8 points? As I said, 2 points. Hammering of Cork, in my opinion. So I think they're coming in full of confidence, and a group that seem to be really, really close. But I think it's just massive that he can actually pick all the best players as well, because they're coming back from injury and things like that. Like, so it's, I think those factors are massive for Clare having the success they've had so year in their 2 Munster championship games. Like,
yeah, interesting. Somewhere ahead, hopefully, anyway. And a long one would be great too. What about Waterford and Cork? And it's quite an interesting one, because you're expecting Cork not to go down without a bit of a fight, but just the whole build-up and Liam Cahill calling for support, just, it would make you think that, you know, he's definitely a little bit worried about Cork anyway.
Gosh, it'd have to be, Marie, like, because they have 2 points. I mean, if Cork get any kind of a result there at the weekend, be it a draw or a win, I mean, and they're going into the last game against Tip and Thurles with looking at a realistic opportunity of taking third place, maybe, because Waterford have to go to Ennis in their last game, and you know, you don't want to have to go to Ennis to get anything out of it, like, you know. So he will, you know, I even see with my own county, Marie. I mean, I was in at the Gaelic grounds last Sunday for the senior game, and 27,000 people there. Like, was there maybe 1,500 Tip fans? You know, and even talking to people who were down in Walsh Park the first day at Tip in Waterford, they felt it was a bit flat, like, you know, that they thought the fans were going to lift the roof off the place, but it was a bit flat. So I think Liam Cahill is right to ask for the support, because for the first time in a long time, you know, they have a really good group. They have a really good management team. They're league champions. I think he's dead right to be asking the people to get behind the team and, you know, really lift the roof off the place. No more so than Ennis is for Clare. Walsh Park should be the same for Waterford. It should be, every team should be dreading going down there because of the atmosphere and the home crowd. So I think Liam Cahill is dead right to be asking them to get behind the group, you know, a really good group. I think for me, Marie, that maybe haven't seen him a top flight in Championship, yes. I thought, you know, they were okay against Tip. Tip worked ferociously hard against them. They pulled away. I thought the last day against Limerick, albeit that there was a few points in it, I was at that game, and I thought Limerick, if they took their chances, could have won that game by 8 or 9 points. So I think that Waterford, getting all their players back, I think at the weekend on Sunday, needs to be their first big statement of the Championship for me to say, look, we're here, we have everybody now, and we're going to be really competitive, and they need to send out a message against Cork at the weekend, like, which I do think that they will. Like.
So what about Cork then? Like, if you think Waterford are going to be able to send out a message, that would make you think we're going to get a pretty good performance from Waterford, which would suggest that Cork aren't going to put up much of a fight then.
Yeah, I think there was a film that came out years ago, Marie, it was called Hear No Evil, See No Evil, and one fellow was blind and there was another fellow was deaf, two famous comedians, I think Richard Pryor was one of them. But I think for me, this is what's going on. I think that people are maybe, they're hearing what's going on, but they can't see how to fix it. And then there's other people that can see what's going on, but maybe they just don't want to listen to people telling them how to fix it, all right? And I think that's a little bit of that going on with Cork. I think there's a team there, and they just seem disjointed from their management. They just take, for example, in the Clare game, there was one particular player that Shane O'Donnell, he'd so much time on the ball and during the game, he could have looked at the ball and nearly seen what part of Pakistan or whatever the Slater was made in. He had that much time, and it just, that's just not from tactics or anything like that. That's just from players just not giving everything. And whether they don't want to give everything, or they're just disillusioned with the whole setup and with the system and everything that's going on down there, and they don't want to play that way, but the manager wanted to play that way. But it just looks so disjointed between the players and the management. And I think that's not been unfair. I think that's very obvious from everyone to see that the way Cork are going this year so far in their performances, like, that there isn't that cohesion, or there isn't that same kind of closeness that there seems to be with the top teams. Like, and I don't know, everyone is saying if there's anything in Cork. I keep hearing if there's anything in Cork, it'll come out today. If there's anything in Cork, it'll come out today. And I haven't seen it, didn't see it against Limerick. Definitely didn't see it against Clare. And I think they're going down to Walsh Park with meeting a Waterford team with a big point to prove. And I honestly can't see it either. Like, maybe I'll be wrong. I'm on duty there as well. And if any Cork people want to come to me afterwards and say you were totally wrong, that's fine too. But that's the way I would see it at the moment, Marie.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of a plot twist all right now if Cork did come out and wipe the floor with Waterford and give a performance of the season, but I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Look, I think that Clare and Limerick, is going to be the game of the weekend, but Kilkenny and Dublin is fascinating as well, because you have a Dublin team who've been shown great form and a bruised Kilkenny team heading up to Parnell Park. Like, to be there now, I'd say, on Saturday night would be unbelievable.
Yeah, and I was there for the league earlier on this year, and Dublin were flying it and going so well. But Dublin have a good record in Parnell Park, but they don't have a good record against Kilkenny in Parnell Park. Kilkenny love going there. I think they love going there under the cosh. They always seem to perform there. They give their best performance to the league, in my opinion, against Dublin in Parnell Park. So I think the other side of it is, when I was there for that game that night, that Donal Burke dropped so deep. Like, he's got 12 points in the first game, 13 points, I think, the last day. But he dropped so deep against Kilkenny that night that it just suited him, and they just crowded him out. And I think Kilkenny will be trying to really suffocate Donal Burke at the weekend, take him out of the game and curb his influence, because if they can, they'll go a long way to getting a win. I think the other side of it is, Marie, with everything that went on in Salt Hill, you know, I think that Brian Cody will just instill in him now, like that the world is against us here, like, and just try and galvanise him between the decision at the end, the handshake, all this crack. And I think if there's any manager out there that can say, look, they're all against us, they're all saying we're doing this, they're all saying that against us, and I think he really will galvanise the group. And I just think it'll be fascinating to see, will TJ Reid start or not, because he was swept off at half time the last day. I thought he would have got a few more minutes with the breeze and everything, so it'll be interesting to see if he starts. I think if he does start, with the player that he is and the standards he set to himself, I think he'll have a massive point to prove. So I just think Kilkenny are going into it in a good place, because at the end of the day, Marie, they don't want Wexford coming to Nolan Park either on the last day, knowing that if they got bit, they could be out of the Championship. Like, so I expect a massive performance from the Kilkenny lads in Parnell at the weekend.
There's two other games as well, Leash and Galway and Westmeath and Wexford. Do you imagine there have been any upsets there?
No, honestly, I can't see it. Because I think Galway, again, like, will, you know, they'll don't want to go into the last day really, really needing a big result, because I think their last day, I think Dublin is coming up Salt Hill, and we know that Wexford have to win. They really have to win if they don't anything but a victory, and they're done really this year. So I expect Galway and Wexford both will go very as strong as they possibly can, try and get the score difference up. For Leash and Westmeath, I think the game that they're both focusing on now really is probably when they have to play each other, like, to try and avoid that relegation. So don't see anything except Galway and Westmeath and Wexford victories there.
Okay, Shane McGrath, enjoy the weekend. I'm sure you will. It's supposed to be sunny. He'll be your favourite type of hurling match, ice cream weather.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be down in Waterford, and we'll go to the beach, and big fan of the 99s as well. So we'll try and squeeze one in as well if we can.
No better, man. Shane, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, Marie. Thank you.
RTE 2FM.
Game on
2FM with Green Farm. Green Farm's newest chicken and turkey range is full of B vitamins, which play a vital role in maintaining good health and well-being. Available in store now.
Game on.
Gaelic football.
Now, it's a very busy weekend in the Gaelic football world as well. And to talk us through all of the action, I'm delighted to say that Neil Ewing joins us now on the line. Neil, we have to start really with the big one, Monaghan and Derry. And when you look at the teams, and I guess when you think of Ulster football as well, you can't help but think that tactics are going to come into play in this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Ulster Championship, it's always the one that catches the eye early in the football season anyway. Seen an interesting piece today just on the relationship between the two managers, Declan Bogan done it in the Examiner. He mentioned where Rory Gallagher had been involved with Fermanagh in 2018, where they were able to overcome Monaghan to get into an Ulster final. That would have been, I suppose everybody would consider a weaker Fermanagh team, beating a Division 1 team at the time to get into an Ulster final. So it shows that Rory Gallagher would have had a lot of analysis done on this Monaghan team then, and a lot of the players in the Monaghan team probably hasn't changed hugely since then. But it also mentioned the respect that Banty McEnany had for Seamus, or for Rory Gallagher as well. And it went so far as to mention that he tried to get him involved at Monaghan late in 2019 as well. So interesting relationship there between the two managers. But yeah, I think an intriguing game. Derry so impressive against Tyrone. Monaghan obviously had the big win against Dublin to stay up. They brushed down the side in the last championship game. I don't know if we can read too much into that Down result either. You know, Down are probably going through a lot of their own problems, and looking at the game Sunday, you know, I was impressed with the spread of scores that Derry had against Donegal. You know, they weren't overly reliant on Shane McGuigan, and they have a lot of very, very good man markers at the back to maybe pick up some of the danger men from Monaghan, like Jack McCarron. I know Conor McManus started the last day. There's probably a little bit of debate. Will Conor McManus start again? If he does start, will he play further out the field, maybe in more of a creator role? So, loads of questions there, and it should make for a really, really interesting game.
So if we can't read into that Down game that much, how much can we read into Derry's win over Tyrone then?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, obviously, Down are a team they've been relegated from Division 2 versus Tyrone. Well, yeah, they probably had a stop-start league campaign. They are the reigning All-Ireland champions. And, Derry also themselves, I know they didn't get promoted from Division 2, but they had a strong Division 2. A draw against Roscommon away in Hyde Park probably cost them promotion. Other than that, we'd be looking at them, you know, having had a great season so far in both league and championship. I just think the way Derry went about the performance against Tyrone suggests a team, you know, with a really solid game plan, just huge mobility around the field. I just think Derry had to show a little bit more tactically, even a little bit. Just their ability to break a pace was very impressive against Tyrone, whereas Monaghan, you know, that was probably just always a game Monaghan were going to win. It was a wet night. Even, I suppose, a slight concern for Monaghan from that Down game will be the fact that they conceded the two goals as well. That's something that they'll be looking to to really shut down on, because, you know, if they can see goals to this Derry team, and they are as open as they were for both those goals. The second goal for Down coming straight from the throw off, you know, Derry will love to get that space and that open field for their running game and their attackers coming from deep. I know Carl O'Connell didn't start the last day for Monaghan. You know, I just think with his pace, he's probably an important player. You know, I'm not sure what his injury situation is, but if they can get him into the team this Sunday, it would be a huge help, because I know the two Hugheses, Darren and Kieran, and Niall Cairns are on the middle of the field for Monaghan. Top players, but just that pace that Derry showed and the willingness to run from all over the pitch. It was, you know, it was full backline players breaking right up the pitch. That's very, very hard to track, and I was very impressed with them the last day, it has to be said. And I think one other thing as well on Derry is just that Rory Gallagher, that experience of working with a breakthrough team before. Now, I'm not saying Derry are going to go on and achieve what Donegal achieved under Jim McGuinness and Rory Gallagher in the earlier part of the last decade, but, you know, I've seen some people talk about, you know, Derry maybe getting carried away after a win, but I think Rory Gallagher will have that experience. He'll be able to keep them grounded, and just I sense there is a lot of hunger in Derry for some success and to get back into an Ulster final. You know, these teams, they haven't met actually since 2009 in the Championship, so unlike a lot of games in Ulster, there's probably not that history of close battles, or there's nothing carried over from more recent games. So yeah, I just think Derry coming with that hunger and the pace and mobility they showed the last day might just have a little bit too much for Monaghan on Sunday.
Yeah, and throw in as well that they scored 118 against the All-Ireland champions too is pretty impressive. Let's move down to Munster now, Neil, and have a look at Tipperary and Limerick. And while there's a huge amount at stake when you've got a Munster final, it is against Kerry, but for Tipperary, a win would give them a chance to play in the Sam Maguire, which is, look, realistically what every team wants.
Yeah, definitely. I think David Power, the Tipperary manager, has been very open about that. He said at the start of the year their goals were to get promoted from Division 4, which they've achieved, and also to remain a Sam Maguire team, and that's what's on the line for them on Sunday. Lose, they go into the Tailteann Cup. Win, they progress to the Munster finals. I don't know, is it a nice price to get a trip to Killarney to play Kerry in the form they're in at the minute? But it will keep Tipperary as a Tailteann Cup team, and you know that's probably very important for David Power and this group of players. Obviously, provincial champions less than 2 years ago, you know, to see themselves playing in Tailteann Cup, it might be a blow to the footballers in Tipperary, especially given the competition they have for some of the best players in the county with the hurlers as well. So yeah, a lot on the line for Tipperary, but Limerick also, you know, a great opportunity to get into a Munster final. They probably felt that they let one slip 2 years ago against Tipperary when Conor Sweeney, the last minute of the game, was it from a sideline or very close to the sideline, put over a dead ball with the assistance of the post, if I remember correctly, and that got Tipperary into the Munster final, which they went on to win. You know, so that shows just how close Limerick were at the time, and that was when they were a Division 4 team. Limerick have probably stepped it up a few levels since. You know, looking at their most recent games, you know, Tip has 8 points to spare over Waterford. Hard to read too much into that result, but I think they will have been very happy. Sean O'Connor and Mikey O'Shea in the forward line took a little bit of pressure off Conor Sweeney there, so they're going to need big performances from those two guys again. I think, you know, on the Limerick side, you know, it has to be mentioned Brendan Fanning's goal against Clare. I think, you know, a lot of talk about the shootout, obviously the first penalty shootout in the football championship. A lot of drama involved in that, but you know, at a time when Limerick were under a bit of pressure from Clare in the 70 minutes, Brendan Fanning came up from full back and he scored a goal that I think any corner forward anywhere in the country would have been proud of, and you know, that was obviously crucial in them getting the draw, bringing the game into extra time and giving them this opportunity. So a lot at stake for both teams. Limerick, I don't know, it's strange to say when both teams were promoted during the league, but Limerick just feel like they maybe have a little bit more momentum going into this one.
Let's have a look then at the two Leinster football semi-finals, and the meeting of Meath and Dublin obviously doesn't have the same glamour and allure that it would have years ago, but there does feel like there's something a little bit more intriguing this year maybe than there has been on the past, because I still think we're not so sure where Dublin are at.
Yeah, hard to believe this game isn't on TV. You know, if you were told a few years ago that you'd have Meath in Dublin playing in a Leinster semi-final and it wouldn't even be covered on TV, you'd find that hard to believe. But yeah, I'm a little conflicted on this one, because I think even back to, 2010 is the last time Meath beat Dublin in Leinster, and, you know, probably numerous times since that, I've probably tried to convince myself that the Meath are in a reasonable position to challenge Dublin, and they've just let us all down. I remember ourselves, we played them in a challenge game in 2014, and, you know, I was hugely impressed at Meath. I thought, you know, they had a lot of lads moving very, very well, and I know a few weeks later they played Dublin, and I was like, yeah, they could give Dublin a rattle here. They went out and they were beaten by maybe 10 or 15 points. And, you know, ever since that, I've just been weary of them going into games against Dublin. Then we had last year, you know, Meath had a competitive Division 1 campaign behind them. They went in to play Dublin. And, you know, while they put it up to them, they were never ahead in the game, or never in a position where they really looked like they were going to kick on and win the game. So I think this is a huge game for Andy McEntee. You know, he's won an All-Ireland club title with Ballyboden in Dublin, but, you know, I just sense from him, he probably has a healthy, I don't know, is it a healthy dislike for Dublin or a strong passion for Meath? So, I think he's probably been very disappointed himself with Meath showings against Dublin in recent years, and he came under a bit of pressure from the Meath County Board over the winter, and I think for this Meath team and for him, it really is a game that they have to show. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of positives for them. You know, while they had a mixed league campaign, getting Brian Menton back, Ronan Jones back in the middle of the field, I think Conor McGill is a very underrated player, a full back. So he's going to be a huge boost to them. The only thing for Conor McGill is he's coming back after missing a bit of league time, and he's coming up against Conor Callan, who missed a bit of league time, but, you know, in that game against Wexford, it looked like the rest did him a lot of good, and, you know, he was absolutely bouncing off the ground. So when we get those guys back, you know, Dublin also have a few guys back themselves. James McCarthy coming in off the bench the last day. Will he start? Niall Scully also came off the bench. You know, they're two great players if Dublin are able to bring them into their team. The flip side of that for Dublin is, you know, the worrying news during the week on Davy Byrne. You know, there's talk that he may have picked up a cruciate ligament injury, which would be a huge blow for him personally, but also for Dublin. Just, he's a real steady and influence, probably a player that goes under the radar a lot of the time, but, you know, he's probably emblematic of what Dublin are so good at. You know, he's always went out and he's done his job. You know, he's ticked all the boxes, and, you know, he doesn't do anything crazy. I think, you know, he typified that. Is it back, was it the 2016 All-Ireland final replay? He came off the pitch, and maybe that's not exactly the game, but, you know, he was maybe under 21. And rather than take a shot and pop it over the bar, he looked again and got it to one of Dublin's sharpshooters for a crucial score. So, yeah, you know, he typifies, you know, what Dublin have been about for the last few years. So he will be a blow at the back. And then you also had Evan Comerford, who was obviously filling the big shoes of Stephen Cluxton, missed the last day against Wexford. So if Dublin are down to their third choice goalkeeper, if they're missing Brian Fenton, one of their more experienced heads at the back now, you know, if this is an opportunity that Meath don't take, I think that they're really going to have to look around and go, you know, where did this group grow from here? I seen during the week Shane McEntee, who was their captain for a large portion of the league but had to go abroad on duty with the Army, talked that he's back in training with them. He'll be a boost, but as I say, Meath, this is an opportunity that they have to take. It for this group of players, and probably for this management team, if they don't take this opportunity, they're probably going to have to look at a different approach to how they take on the Leinster Championship in the coming years.
Yeah, because you'd have to think as well that it is going to be more competitive, especially when you look at Kildare and the underage structures and the fact that their minors and their under-20s are real coming teams, and obviously their under-20s in an All-Ireland final. But for Kildare and Westmeath, do you think it's going to be a clear-cut one for Kildare, or Westmeath going to be able to put up a challenge?
Yeah, do you know, I thought when Kildare played loud in the last round that was going to be a really good game. But, you know, Kildare went out and they absolutely blew loud out of water, beat them by 16 points. And the worrying thing there is that Loud got promoted from Division 3 and Westmeath weren't able to get promoted from Division 3. So, you know, does that give you maybe a gauge on where Kildare are at versus Westmeath? That's the fear that you would have. But, you know, Westmeath have pulled off some big results in Leinster over the last few years. I think James Dolan, Jerrigan played some part the last day. James Dolan didn't. You know, they're two important players that they'd like to have on the pitch. But I think what's probably impressive with Kildare, and maybe somewhere that Westmeath might fall down, is just that athleticism and again that power around the middle of the field. Kevin Feely, Kevin Flynn, Paul Cribben, yeah, you know, they're powerful, strong runners, and you know there's going to be a lot expected of Ray Kinnellan to try and cancel out those three guys and compete with them. If Rick and Ellen, you know, can't come out on top in some of those battles around the middle of the field, John Heslin, Luke Loughlin, while they're dangerous inside, they're just not going to get enough ball in, and you just worry that if Westmeath, you know, don't compete there around the middle of the field, that Daniel Flynn, Jimmy Howland inside, they can do a lot of damage. And I think also worrying from a Westmeath perspective is just the impact that Kildare had off the bench the last day. Derek Irwin and Woodgate coming in off the bench, you know, kicked 1-5 between them. That's high scoring coming off the bench, and I just don't know if Westmeath might have that strength and depth. And you know, maybe it's a game that could reflect some of what we've seen over the last few weeks, where you know, and probably Cavan aren't maybe the best example of what we've seen, given the two unlucky goals they conceded last again, but where we've seen weaker division teams who are going relatively well are able to put it up to the Division 1 teams for, you know, 50-60 minutes. But just you know, in those last 10-20 minutes when the benches and the fitness and pace and power comes into play, that the lower division teams, it's maybe not even necessarily that they don't have the guys to compete with that athleticism, but they maybe just aren't used to that intensity that the Division 1 teams bring for 70 minutes. Maybe there's a little period of 5-10 minutes downtime that guys can get throughout the first 50-60 minutes in a Division 3 or Division 4 game that Division 1 teams just don't give you.
Okay, well, you have set the scene very nicely for us there, Neil. It should be a cracking weekend of football. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you again soon.
RTE 2FM.
Game on
2FM with Green Farm. Green Farm's new added benefits range is enriched with all your B vitamins, which are essential for your health and well-being. Available in store now.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome back to Game On. So to set us up for the weekend's racing, here is Jane Mangan.
Game On.
Racing.
Thank you, Marie. Yes, I was in Chester last week, but I'm fresh from my adventures, and I hope on my travels I potentially saw an Epsom Derby winner, because Changing of the Guard and Star of India were very good at Chester. Stone Age was very good at Leopardstown, United Nations at Lingfield. They're all Aidan O'Brien's Epsom Derby trial winners. Throw in Dunica's Piz Badil, who also won at Leopardstown, and the Irish Challenge is formidable for the showpiece event at Epsom. But yesterday, with an impressive display in the Dante, Sir Michael Stout may well have a sixth Epsom Derby winner in his stable, because Desert Crown was oh so impressive. He's unbeaten, he's lightly raced, he's completely unexposed, but the 10-time champion trainer, the man who's been a little bit quiet in recent seasons, is back with a horse that could be top drawer. Desert Crown straight to the top of the market for the Epsom Derby after yesterday's Dante display. And 2 days ago, we saw Emily Upjohn absolutely run riot in the Musidora. She goes to the top of the Epsom Oaks market for John and Thady Gosden. The daughter of See the Stars looks like she's going to be very hard to beat, albeit Aidan O'Brien is going to have his say with the likes of Tuesday and Thoughts of June in opposition. But closer to home, we have the Lochinge this weekend, and it looks like one of the highest rated horses in training, Baid, is going to be very hard to beat. He's 6 from 6, and last year he finished his season by taking the scalp of Palace Pier in the QE2. He's been oh so impressive, nigh on untouchable in his career to date, and while there is 9 runners in this year's Lochinge, it will take a very good performance to beat him. Mother Earth is decent. Alcohol Free needs to bounce back from a disappointment on her seasonal debut. And Chindit, while he's been good, he hasn't been as good as Baid. So I think it would be a massive surprise if the William Haggis trained colt did.